We're going to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, a very well-known story of the prodigal. I trust you'll follow along in your own Bible, Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Amen. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Today we're looking at John 14, verse 6, where the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It is probably because of this verse that many Christians are persecuted, because for this very reason, Christianity is unique. Because Jesus came not only to teach the way or to reveal the way, He is the way, and you cannot have Christianity without the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and Him alone. He is unique, and there is no salvation outside of knowing and trusting in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. So I want you to stay tuned with us right through the program today as we dig in to comprehend what it means for the Lord Jesus to be the way to the Father. He has opened up that way by His death on the cross and by His resurrection. Now, just as He is the way to the Father, He is also the one who shall come from the Father. He shall return again. But we'll reserve that message for another time. Now we're turning to the pulpit ministry of our church to Let the Bible Speak on John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me."
Great battle that there is truth. There are things you can know with absolute certainty. And in this world, there are fixed laws of creation, and only a fool will try to abandon them, like the law of gravity. You can't step off a 10-floor skyscraper and neglect the law of gravity. It works every time. The law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy, the law of what goes up must come down. That's an easy way of putting it. These are things that are fixed in the world. And who stated and set those fixed laws in place? The creator, the designer of this world. Now, because of Adam, we are in the dark. Man's eyes have been put out. If you turn with me to Ephesians 4, you will see the awful damage that sin has done in the hearts and minds of men. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And so when you see the university professor, the PhD, that is not a Christian, following the darkness of his own mind, you can realize that he is lost. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And so reason to these people is no longer sufficient. You can set before them the facts, the evidence, but their mind is darkened. They cannot interpret the facts. And that natural revelation is insufficient to convince them. And so God has given us the Bible. And in this word, we have the inerrant, infallible word of God. It is the written word. But also, God has given us his Son, who is the living word. And Jesus is the revelation of the Father. Now, Jesus could say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And if you look at verse 7 here, you'll see that's exactly what he said to Philip. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Here, God sent his Son to be the express image of the Father, that you and I would know him and know God and know truth. That is the wonder of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have a little short quote here by Arthur W. Pink. I hope it helps you. The true knowledge of God cannot be obtained but by the true knowledge of the Son. And if the Son be really known, then the Father will also be known. The Father is known just so far as the Son is known, no farther. And so I must introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ if you are to know the Father. You must come to know him, not only with historical knowledge, but with the eye of faith. You must be able to embrace him as the living revelation of the Father to your soul, that you might be saved to know the truth as it is in God. Now, all of this adds up because Jesus said in John 8:12 that he was the light of the world. What a great truth. He truly is the light of the world. And what a gift this truth is from God in the person of Christ. What a gift is our Lord Jesus. Now, as a Christian, every day of your life you will say, Father, thank you for giving me your Son. Every day. In fact, that's how we ought to pray. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and we thank the Father for revealing himself through his Son. Are you doing that? Is that a summary of your Christian life? Or are you just sitting on the fringe somewhere an observer of these things, you are impressed to some degree. You would even stand up for John 14:6 and say, that is the word of God. But if it has not brought you to your knees to say, Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, that I may know the true and living God, then you're not a Christian. You're not saved. All of this is just over the head or a little surface in your mind, but really you're walking without the light of the sun in your life. And so therefore I must introduce you to the Lord Jesus. I must beg you to come and know him, accept him as your Savior. I do so now, accept him. I would say, and after this meeting, would you please come and talk to me and let me introduce you to the Son of God, because you'll never be right with God. You will never know God unless you know the Son. Now, the third great statement here is, I am the life. And you can see where I got my outline from today. It's very simple. Jesus said three things, and these are my 3 points. He's the way, he's the truth, and he says, I am the life. And this text addresses the sentence of death between man and God. He is the life, and that life addresses the curse of sin. What are the wages of sin? Death. Adam and Eve found that out in the garden. The moment that they sinned, they were driven out, they were separated from God, but something else died within them. Something died in their hearts. Love for God died. Faith died. The delight in God died. The moment they sinned, they became fugitives. They ran and hid from God. They wanted to cover themselves from their nakedness. Something died within them. Their innocence died. Shame filled their hearts. Their conscience was no longer clear, but rasping with all the very power of death. Now, this week we're all asking, where do viruses come from? Modern anthropologists have great tools to search the earth for dead things. And one thing that they're finding in the tundra, when they bore down into the ice, they can find viruses that are buried and frozen. But one of the fears is that as they are brought to the surface, or as some people say, due to global warming, that the ice melts and the viruses now are exposed, and we're all facing things that the world, well, at some point did have, but for a period of time have not had. But what is a virus? It is the death sentence. It really is a part of the curse. And all over this world, there is death. If you're a creationist, you know that the oil, the fossil fuels of this world are produced out of dead things. Dead trees, dead plants, dead animals. All those things that were buried in Noah's flood that produced coal, oil, gas. This world is a testimony of death. And of course, the human race is dying. Every one of us is under the sentence of death. The death sentence is even in us. Now, Adam turned from being God-centered to self-centered. He died toward God, but he came alive toward self and to his own pride. And there lies spiritual death. To love self, pleasure and worldly things above God, is to be spiritually dead. And I might be describing you today, that when it comes to the things of vice and pleasure and even questionable things in this world, you get all excited about them. But when it comes to knowing God, there's a deadness in your soul. And of course, if money is your God, what a testimony that is. You put your trust in money rather than in the living God. When the prodigal son returned home, his father said, "This my son was dead, but is alive again." What a wonderful thing. He who had rebelled, went into the far country, wasted his living, had been there to feed the pigs out of want and penury, came to himself, returned to his father's home. He was brought from death to life in the sense that he knew where to go, and he was given the grace to do it. Now, Christ came to give dead souls spiritual life. Dead souls need to be quickened. They need to be given new life. It's like the power lines being cut. That's the state of the wicked, the ungodly. But when the hydro arrives and they put the power on again, they join those lines and the power comes on, then they're hooked up. Now, you need that new life. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You can give people a Bible, but they will still be dead. You can give people a theology book, but they will still be dead. You can preach to them, but they'll remain dead. Only Christ can give life to a dead soul. Jesus said, "I am the life." That's the wonder of the gospel and the good news, that when you receive the Lord into your heart, that you are born again, you're given that new life from above, a new nature. Now, I can't stop without preaching the fourth part of this text. You thought it was a three-part sermon. Well, actually, if you read verse 6, there's another little statement in it. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And this text addresses the deception about other mediators between God and men. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, if I was an insurance man, I would say this is the cover-all statement. You know, the little fine print that the insurance writers put in the back page? Here is the cover-all statement. "No man cometh to the Father but by me." And nothing gets missed with that one. No man. No individual. Man, woman, boy, girl, of any period of time or any nation of the world will ever enter into heaven. Jesus is the only way. And the greatest deception in religious circles is to present many mediators. Mary, saints, ancestors, dead people that are now somehow representing them before God. It's all a myth. It's a big lie. And I'll tell you another big lie, that you need Jesus as your mediator plus someone else. That's the subtle one. Oh yes, you need Jesus, but you also need the church. You also need the apostle or the saints or some other mediator between you and men. Well, I leave you to work out the math. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's just one. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Could any language be more clear? If God wanted to say that there's only one way for you to be saved, could he have put it any clearer? What does God need to say in his word to get the truth home right to your heart? By this text alone, you can settle your eternal destiny. Isn't this simplicity? If you never had the whole Bible and you just had John 14:6, you could settle your whole eternal destiny right now. You don't have to go to a catechism class. You don't have to go to a Bible school or any other learning. This is it. This is the full gospel right here. And by this text alone, do you not see that you must be a Christian? There's no other way. You must be a Christian. You need the person, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. That's it. Let that sink in. And by this text alone, you must be a Protestant. That's a shocker, isn't it? I want to close with a shocker. The Protestant doctrine of the gospel is the right doctrine. We protest anyone who denies Jesus is the only way. We protest other mediators as the way. That's what Protestants do. That's why we keep the word Protestant in our language to define who we are. Now, I'll accept the term Christian, but when you want to know what I believe, I'm a Protestant. I'm a Protestant. Now, I'll not go so far to say that you must be a Free Presbyterian to get into heaven. I don't say that. But you do need the Protestant perspective of the gospel, that there is one mediator between God and men. That we, you know, the five solas? That we are saved by faith alone, Christ alone. We have the Bible alone as our authority, and it is for God's glory alone, and it's grace alone. There's the five of them. That's the Protestant perspective of the gospel. And that is the gospel that saves. Don't accept anything else. And so this text, John 14:6, beautifully simple, I trust well known, can be your gateway to glory. Will you come? Boys and girls, let me speak to you. You're here today. I love to preach to boys and girls. Do you have the Lord in your heart? Have you invited him to be your personal Savior? Your mom and dad can't get you into heaven. They might pay your way into Disney. They might pay your way into some other place of excitement, but they won't get you into heaven. You must call on the Lord Jesus personally to save your soul. Will you do that? Talk to your mom and dad today. Tell them, I heard that I needed to be saved. What do I do? How do I pray? Show me where John 14:6 is in the Bible. Make that the bedrock of your faith, and you will be saved.
listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Now, I keep preaching the Lord Jesus. I keep preaching that He is the way to the Father. And I tell the story over and over of God working in the world through His Son. God sent His Son into the world. He took a human body. He went all the way to the cross. And it is through that Lord Jesus, the only Son of God, by whom we are saved. There is life in no other. There is a purpose and a plan of salvation in no other. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And I plead with you today to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. Just bow the knee and plead in prayer the grace, the mercy of the Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart, to your life, to save your soul. And if I can be of personal help, be sure to give me an email or a call. I look forward to hearing from you. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.